There are no innocent people in this world. Only killers and zombie takeout.
Hello and welcome to Zombie Takeout, the B-movie and cult movie show. I'm John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, just a little something about last week's movie, Mandy, that I thought of in the intervening week. I was recommending it to Jen Miller and Tom Norman, both who've been on the show before. Tom was on last year. Jen's been on like three times. You know who she is. And I was recommending it to them because I think they'll both love it. And I thought of the perfect description. I described it as Troma with a much larger budget and without all the winks to camera. It's kind of, you know, Troma with money that kind of takes itself seriously, or at least doesn't nod to the wink to the camera constantly.
I was thinking Charles Bronson does a Troma movie.
Yeah, that's there we go. There we go. And we've got some feedback from Bodo via Twitter on this week's movie. He said, beside the fact that X vs. Sever was god and or awful, I still love Lucy Liu and loathe Antonio Banderas even more. So I went down another rabbit hole and watched 3 hours of the X vs. Sever game on YouTube, released in 2001 on Game Boy. Much more entertaining.
I think we've learned that Bodo is a masochist.
I am kind of curious to watch some footage of the game now that I've seen the movie. I've seen the movie before, but this refreshed my memory. I've never really had much of a strong opinion about either of them, and this movie didn't change that. Anyway, this week's movie, of course, is Ballistic from 2001, Ballistic X vs. Sever. And of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Mediocrity. It's fine.
Also brought to you by foreigners. They're always stealing our clandestine jobs. Like, seriously, anyone here that's, English? You got Park, who's got a Scottish accent. Banderas, Mexican.
Is he Scottish or more like North England? I'm not sure. Anyway.
I thought they said Scotland.
Okay. Well, the character probably, yeah.
Yeah, maybe the character's from England, but I think he's Scottish.
Okay.
And why did he wear the Darth Maul outfit? He looks like Seth Green.
This is a period of his career where he got a lot of work off the back of Phantom Menace.
And why not?
And unfortunately, they gave him lines in this one.
I think he should have had more lines in Phantom Menace.
Well, he didn't have the lines. Peter Serafinowicz did.
Why didn't he have
the roommate lines? From Shaun of the Dead.
The voice isn't even that different from his actual voice. That was pointless. Anyway, never mind. Let's get on to this masterpiece. All right, so we have let's see if I can sum this plot up somehow. We have the old agent who his wife's been dead, and he's been out of the game and just sitting at a bar smoking and drinking. He's too old for this shit now. But they have a job that for some reason only they can go to him for, which is not made very clear. They also have the secret that his wife is still alive, but he'll tell you about it after the mission, is to quote the movie Hot Shots.
Yeah, exactly.
Although they don't actually kill the guy, they just shoot him and he's like off screen for the rest of the film.
And he practically did say, I'll tell you about it after the mission.
Yes, he does. It's total, he's dead meat. I'll tell you all about it after the mission. So he takes this assignment. This woman's son is kidnapped. You'll never guess whose son it really is. I say that very sarcastically.
One of my other perspective titles was Plot Salad.
Yeah. Right, because they just kept putting hats on a hat, and it was just like, "What? Why did we need this? Why did we need this wife subplot in the movie? Totally unnecessary." Because right, the wife of the mother—I mean—turns out to be his wife. None of this makes any sense. So why would they put him on this assignment unless they knew that he was going after his wife's son? And why would it be, you'll find out after the mission. Why didn't he just come out and say, dude, your wife's really still alive. This asshole's been hiding her.
Yeah.
And
it would have given him much more motivation.
Yeah. Right. It doesn't make any sense. Why would you keep the cloak and dagger thing when they're agents and they'll figure it out eventually anyway on their own? So why not just tell them? So his wife's son, just throwing that out there, is kidnapped by another rogue agent who, they killed her family too.
Who worked for the DIA, which I had no idea was a real thing until I looked it up after the movie. Department neither. Of Intelligence, military intelligence, but I don't remember the exact acronym.
Well, that is the problem with the United States. We have so much clandestine shit going on that, I mean, come on, even like the NSA were kind of like in the shadows like within our lifetimes.
Right.
So anyway, so of course, yes, she was wronged. So he comes and asks her, he just point blank asks her when they're confronting him about his wife. And yet they're still at odds, even though it's fairly obvious that they share the same enemy.
Their boss, or her former boss.
Her former boss. And
his current boss.
I don't even think, he's not DIA, he's FBI.
Right. Okay, so right.
It's not even his boss.
No, it read the guy who married his wife when she thought he was dead.
Right. And then,
as I said, plot salad.
You know how simple last week's movie's plot was? maybe sometimes, you know, more complex a plot is not less is more interesting. Sometimes less is more, and this is truly that case. So she goes on this whole fucking killing spree, pretty much. Just bodies everywhere. Just shooting people left and right. But it's just to get back at this one guy.
And she does it on a sidewalk in front of like a restaurant near a mall, like middle of the city.
Yeah. Like there's all sorts of these scenes in combat when really, I mean, even everybody's guilty of this in this movie, not just her. When they're going to take her out with the sniper. And instead of the sniper doing his job, killing someone from a distance, they have a dude walk up to her to try to take her out. It's like, I may not be a military strategist, but if I had a sniper, you don't need someone to walk up to the person to take them out.
And I have to admit, one of the few slow motion shots I did enjoy in the movie was when she took out the sniper and we get that slow motion shot of him like looking down at him falling onto the top of the car.
That was good. So they finally do work together, of course, making the title, the stupid title, incorrect.
Yeah.
They have the final climactic battle scene, which I think Roger Ebert called a factory of smoke and flame. But I think he missed the obvious, that this is just pretty much an adult version of the movie Home Alone, where they set up ridiculous booby traps that, of course, inexplicably all go in the right way.
Because like, she's supposed to be this badass assassin.
Yeah.
And there's one point where they've got this group of guys running toward her, and she can't hit any of them. And
nobody
I don't know
can about shoot for shit in this movie. That's the other thing.
They've established she's a great shot. And yeah. I have to put in my notes that she couldn't hit these guys who were running straight at her, and then we see the booby trap.
Yeah.
We see the reason she missed them all.
I mean, this was just missing the Michael Jordan cutout and the rocket around the Christmas tree.
Right.
And they'd be like, oh, the wet bandits, are passing on this house because Lucy Liu's home with people. Hilarity ensues.
And so with a total of 117 reviews, the highest for a film with a zero score, Ballistic Exorcist Ever is the worst reviewed film in the history of Rotten Tomatoes.
I don't think the people of Rotten Tomatoes have seen enough movies.
That's
though,
exactly where I was going. Also, despite making several bad movies of all time lists, this film has never been nominated for any Razzies because the Razzies know bad movies.
Sometimes I think the Razzies get it wrong, but to say this is the worst of all time, I mean, good God.
Granted, we are experts on the subject.
I've seen the horrors.
This is shot far too confidently and acted far too passively to be the worst movie of all time.
Yeah, this wouldn't even make my bottom 10.
No.
In fact, wait a minute, I was looking at this. I would say I have 14 movies rated lower than what I'm going to rate this easily.
Mm-hmm. This is an exercise in mediocrity.
Yeah.
I will admit that the explosion when, you know, she's about to kidnap the kid, that was nicely sudden. I didn't see that coming.
Actually, I'd say 40 movies ranked lower than this one.
That explosion was a nice surprise. I didn't see that coming because it had been many years since I'd seen the movie. I thought giving him the last name X, E-C-K-S, was cheesy but amusing. And her last name Sever, as in like a severed head.
Yeah.
That was amusing. Nice to see Greg Henry. Not like a heavy hitter who I mention a lot, but he is one of my favorites.
He's a good bad guy.
Yeah, I always enjoy his work.
He's probably the best actor in this, actually. Yeah.
And from the possibly best actor, I think I would agree with that, to one of the worst. This is a rare no makeup role for Ray Park, where they gave him dialogue. Because like right off the back of Phantom Menace, he did Sleepy Hollow, which I think was released the same year. So that probably wasn't off the back of this.
Yeah.
He did this, X-Men, which he had minimal makeup on and way too many lines. So, yeah, and then I don't think he did much after this.
I would say worst actor for me in this would be Talos Asoto.
Okay, that's fair.
There were some lines that were just like, holy shit, how do you not say cut? Let's do that again.
Yeah.
There were some lines that were just like, oh my God, what is she doing?
I do think Lucy Liu was good as the silent assassin early in the film.
You know, I have no problems with either Lucy Liu or Antonio Banderas in this.
Some of her emotional work later was a little iffy. She was great as the silent assassin. She really did a great job with the choreography.
They're both serviceable actors in this. I wouldn't say they ruined it. I wouldn't say they crushed it.
You know, she was really good at the fight choreography at one point. Like, she's really killing it, and Ray Park actually looked kind of clumsy, which is weird because he's the professional.
Right.
And I like Antonio Banderas as the grizzled old veteran. He's just seen everything. I think he plays that part well.
I think the leads both.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, serviceable. Yeah. I've never been a Banderas fan, but I've always preferred him in comedic roles. And this
he's hit or miss.
This kind of verged on comedy in a lot of ways for him.
Because it almost did, didn't it?
Because he was the chief in Lethal Weapon. He was that guy.
Yeah.
How
about the scene where he's where I've coined this new term, chin-splaining what's going on in China to the Chinese guy?
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, why is he telling the dude what's going on in China?
Uh-huh. And just after that big sidewalk gunfight, where she's literally like on a mounted gun shooting cars, there's this big chase afterwards, and you know, one car goes, you know, they're in an alley, and a car gets launched. Two of the bad guys pull up, you know, because they're you know, government. And you hear a voiceover say, situation out of hand, so suggest the locals take this one. Loved that. In other words, it's too much of a mess. We're just going to hand it over to the locals to clean it up.
So, yeah, I get that she kidnaps the kid because the kid has the, I mean, impressive that they would talk about nanobots in movie.
Or maybe just
way before. Oh, I mean, it's pretty much a nanobot that they're talking about before the term was even coined, really. And usually it's been talked about for medical purposes.
Well, yeah, usually for medical.
Not for harm like this. But
In future science fiction, they've done it. I think Stargate, one of the series, had a bit about nanobots around this time.
Oh, yeah?
Might be SG-1 or one of the other shows.
I watched one of the SGs, and I can't remember which one it was. Probably the original.
I think it was the main original
series. Yeah,
I had a thing with nanobots. I'm sure they came up in one of the Star Trek series before this.
Maybe.
But again, that was proper science fiction, not an action flick. So, I really loved the rooftop fight between Banderas and Lou. That was hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I like any martial arts scene in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, that one in particular,
strongest.
Because a lot of the action scenes are really good. That fight in particular, the choreography was really clever.
Oh yeah,
but Banderas was just so ham-fisted about it, which made me laugh.
Yeah.
Although I have to wonder how he picked handcuffs one-handed with a paperclip. Somebody's never picked a lock before. You need both hands.
Not all of the action was done well, though. Like the chase scene on the motorcycles.
Uh-huh.
It seemed like they were just... It looked like we were watching the that amusement park demolition derby kind of thing where the bumper cars. That's what it looked like. People were just driving in random circles. They didn't even look like they were going very fast either.
No. Although there is a great moment at the end of that scene. Two cars get launched and they rotate in sync. They just flip at the same exact time.
I don't even understand why that would have happened. I was kind of like, really?
I just thought it was really nicely pulled off.
But it is a nice visual to pull off, yeah.
And then in the middle of this, really, it's a fun, likable movie, you know? It's very mediocre, but it's fun and likable. And in the middle of this fun, likable action flick, he goes to the aquarium, meets his wife who thought he was dead. She doesn't seem shocked by it.
But right. It's like, oh, there you are.
And we get this long-winded exposition scene about how it all happened and how she ended up with Gant and all of this. And she reveals that, yes, the kid is his. Like, we hadn't already figured that out.
Right. It was okay.
And then they're leaving the aquarium because, of course, the bad guys show up. But they're running down the street.
And we also didn't spoil it that she was his, you know, wife.
Mm-hmm.
Because they show her picture early on.
Right.
And when he's looking up the file for his wife, we're like, wait a minute. That's the same chick
the mother of the kid who just got kidnapped.
Hey, right? What the fuck? This is dumb.
But they're running away from the aquarium, and we get this slow motion shot of just their feet. It was just bizarre.
A lot of this bored me out, honestly.
Mm-hmm. See, I got a kick out of how bad it was in certain spots, like that running shot or the obvious projection when Sever picks them up when they're in talking in the car.
Right.
Like the outside of the scenery outside the car was obviously a screen.
Yeah.
I mean, get a kick out of that stuff.
Those were nice things, yeah. But, I mean, for the movie, at its most part, I mean, especially the scene where they're just going on about exposition and stuff that we pretty much already figured out,
mm-hmm.
was just just not interesting.
No, the exposition is pointless. Plot salad. There's no need. This is a movie where you go in, turn your brain off, and just enjoy the action.
Well, right. That's how it should be, right. And then they're trying to bring you down with this. I don't understand any of the plots, honestly.
When they go to the aquarium, just, you know, take a little break, use restroom, get a bite to eat, come back. When you see them running away from the aquarium, you're good.
They really, they didn't actually have 90 minutes of material here, did they? No, they really stretched it out. Like, I'd say maybe an hour 15 tops.
Mm, yeah. That's it for my notes.
Let's see. Shouldn't the explosions, I don't know, serve sort of some strategic advantage? But they just blew up things at random, yet they, you know, didn't actually do anything, then blow things up.
Yeah. But there was one scene in that whole Home Alone in, at the rail yard bit where that kind of surprised me. When he's running away from the landmine and the pipes come down and actually knock him over, Antonio Banderas says, I didn't expect the bad guy to fall, to go down at that point. I mean, the good guy, I should say.
Yeah.
I didn't expect him to fall. I figured he would just run clear.
I saw something in the trivia that they fucked up an explosion and got a little too close to Banderas.
Yeah, and he was kind of pissed off at the crew after. Understandably.
Yeah. But yeah. You know, like how people try to like actors are being divas. It's like, you almost fucking blew him up, man.
Yeah, there's a big difference between someone getting his face almost blown off and like a Christian Bale situation.
I was Team Bale on that anyway.
Oh, okay. Well, you acted more than I did, so.
Well, I mean, you know, it's a set. It's not like the guy was just a day player. You know, he was like a director of cinema, photography, I think. And they're trying to get a scene right. And he's just all like, oh, like, he's an asshole.
Anyway.
One of the things, the litmus test to see how you feel about this movie is how you feel about the suicide scene going in the early on. Mm-hmm. Like the bad guy, of course, fails at his job and comes back. And I don't know why they take the cliche about the samurai doing the honorable thing and he hands him his gun.
Greg Henry's character. Hands him this gun, says, you know, in the old days, in the nobler times when a knight would fail his king, you know, he would, I have it in my notes, he would fall on his sword.
Yeah. And then he goes to shoot him, but I guess he's taken out by a sniper?
Mm-hmm.
Which, what? So just kind of like, okay, that was kind of a...
Yeah, that is
a bit more on the action scene.
Yeah. It's also a case of expectation management. You know, bear in mind that many consider this to be the worst film of all time. Go in with that in mind, and you'll enjoy it.
I think it would have been more enjoyable if it was worse. Although, my most favorite gap in this whole movie is when Lucy Liu, at the very end, goes back up in the elevator that Gant had torn the fuses off on. Just the scene earlier.
Yeah.
How is she going back up in this elevator? It's like something they blew up in one scene. It's like, now, oh yeah, this is back and working and fully operational again.
You know how much I love the nitpick movies. I had no interest in nitpicking this thing. This episode would be 3 hours long if I tried to nitpick this
thing. That's it for my notes.
On to sequels and remakes. As Bodo mentioned, a Game Boy Advance first-person shooter version of X vs. Sever was released in 2001 before the film from apparently an early draft of the script. It received very positive reviews and received a 9 out of 10 on IGN. The game was considered an impressive technological feat on the GBA and was better regarded than the film itself. A second game created after the premiere, Ballistic X vs. Sever, which follows the plotline from the film, is considered a sequel to the first game. So apparently the first game was a prequel that was better than the movie. When we reviewed Warcraft, we said it might be one of the few, if not only, movie adaptations from a game that was as good. That was good. Has there ever been another good game adaptation, except maybe GoldenEye?
I was going to say, is the video game better than that movie?
Yeah, GoldenEye might be the only other one. I just remembered GoldenEye offhand when I was saying that.
I mean, then again, GoldenEye is like one of the best video games ever made.
Right, yeah.
So,
a lot of people don't know it's based on a movie. It's gotten such a reputation.
Right.
On the brands.
See the other casting choices that were originally supposed to play this?
Sever was originally going to be played by a man, and there were a number of big names who passed on it before they went to Lucy Liu.
Like, it was supposed to be Stallone is in Banderas' role, and
precursor to Assassins, I think. Maybe Assassins was before this. Because that was those two.
I mean, the director wanted like Chow. Apparently, the director had a lot of problems getting this done, which is why it is the way it is. Yeah. Like, and apparently, producers pretty much just came in and like finished it.
Right. And he didn't make another movie for several years after this.
But I think like Wesley Snipes was involved at one point. Yeah. Like, I guess they were going to have a Demolition Man reunion. I think the director wanted like Chow Yun-fat or Jet Li. Or actually, I think he wanted both of those to be like the leads. But of course, the producers were just like, no.
Well, I would love to see Ray Park try to fight in a movie with those two.
Yeah. Yeah. That would have been amazing.
On to Brains.
On to Brains.
I, as you can tell, overall enjoyed it. I'm not going to recommend it, but I had fun. I'm going through.
There were a few good fight scenes. The acting was decent for the most part, but still not enough to save this one because the story is horrendous and the directing is all over the place. So I'm going a brain and a half.
Okay. And what have we learned?
just play a video game instead.
And I learned that some people, probably most people, have no idea what a bad movie really is.
Yeah, this was not, I mean...
I would love to take some of the people who think this is the worst movie ever made, sit them down and have them watch some Trauma or some Neil Breen.
Or just Showgirls or...
Yeah, or, The Lobster. Or, Batman and Robin.
Never mind The Lobster, 50 Shades. Yeah, Batman and Robin. Batman and Robin is still a worse movie than this.
Yeah. Oh, by far.
Yeah.
All right. That's it for Ballistic X versus Ever. Until next time, we'll be reviewing Four Rooms. Yes, another Banderas movie. Sorry, Boda. And more stylistic Whiplash. That's going to be interesting. After that, we have El Mariachi, the original version of Desperado. We were considering turning it into a Banderas three-parter trilogy, that's the word, and doing the Desperado, but we're not going to do that to you, but we're going to stick to El Mariachi, which, as I recall, is the better film anyway. Until then, of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.